Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders, MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson, and your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Rivers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another episode of Sports Card Live. I'm here with Dan and Ryan. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Man, we got an action-packed episode. We're going to be joined by Donovan from CardboardTracker.com. He's got a really cool, new, interesting site that kind of follows the progress of pricing on some prospects along with just cards in general. So we're going to talk some prospects with him, as well as just, you know, overall pricing and his site. So that should be exciting. That'll be later in the show. We'll talk a little score jumbo that just came out. So me and Dan busted a few boxes of that. So we're going to let you guys know and preview a little archives and just get into whatever we may get into. Man, NBA playoffs are in full swing. NHL, full swing. Two game sevens. There's going to be one tonight with the Sharks and the Kings. Dan's a Sharks fan, but he's picking the Kings tonight. I can't figure it out.
I have to add, smart money, man. Smart money's got to be on. There hasn't, in this series, there hasn't been a road team that's won a game. So,
wow.
I mean, game seven's in L.A. If it, I mean, Sharks are going to have to come out big. I mean, can't get behind with Jonathan Quick. That guy's too good. And the Kings play too good with the lead. So, got to come out, get a couple goals early, and then just play defensive hockey. It's been like, I don't know if you guys are watching any of the series. It's been a hell of a series. Like a well-played series for sure. Not super explosive, not a lot of scoring, but Niemi's playing out of his mind. I mean, Quick is playing out of his mind, and you know, it's been a solid series. And then the other series, the Red Wings and Blackhawks. I thought the Blackhawks were done. They were down 3-1, and they've come back to force a game seven in Chicago. So, and the Blackhawks were everybody's pick to win it all. So, we'll see what goes down. And that's about as much hockey talk as we usually do. So, let's talk about basketball.
I was going to say, I think my pick tonight is going to be the Sharks in a shootout, and it's going to be an epic game seven, the one that they're going to put on a DVD at some point. I think the Sharks are going to break the trend of, home wins. Sharks are going to take it. It's going to be 3-3, head into a shootout, and it's just going to be an epic game. That's my pick. And I think the Blackhawks are going to win that series, too.
Oh, Doug. I can't believe you said that, bro. There's no shootout in playoff hockey.
Oh, there isn't? Womp, womp, womp.
I kept on trying to interrupt you, dude. I'm all, dude, no.
Yep,
there you go.
You guys are listening and that you guys could, you know, make sure I'm checking your hockey knowledge because I knew.
I was trying to stop the train wreck, but you just kept on going with it.
You're a winner for knowing hockey knowledge on playoffs. I tested you. You won, and you get a spot and a break now.
I think you're thinking like IHL rules, like, you know, the International Hockey League rules or the AHL or whatever, like something like that. We're talking minor league hockey, right? With the shootouts in the playoffs.
No, I was literally giving a test to you guys, and you passed with flying colors.
Awesome. Good to know. Good to know.
Well, switch over to NBA where there is no shootouts, period. They should
no
shootout.
No, it's new this year. Like, if it goes to overtime, two overtimes, then they just start playing horse. And whoever wins it, horse wins the game.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Or what's that? Or knockout. They play knockout.
Or they play like a one-on-one, like 21, see who wins.
Best of three, around the world, horse, and knockout. Whoever wins. But I don't know. You know, Kelp, I know you're in the room, and I'm sorry about this, but I think the Heat are gonna take that series, and I think we're going to see LeBron with the confetti again, you know, second championship. That's what I think with that. I mean, Pacers are a good team. I think they match up well with the Heat, but I don't know. I don't think you can stop the Heat right now.
I see the Heat doing a little three-peat action over here. They're a team that can win for a while.
Yeah, I mean it's. I think the strategy for the Pacers is to kick LeBron in his shin, or you know, maybe trip him when he's running down the court or something. I mean, I know they got those two big men, you know, to stop and get some rebounds and stuff like that. But I just think LeBron's playing out of his mind. Did you see that layup? I forget what game that was where they had like 2 seconds left. He passed it in. LeBron took like one step and he was at the hoop. He laid it up. He won the game.
I think that was game one.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say, like, if I was a coach for the Pacers there, I'd be like, all right, we got five guys out there. Three of you guys take LeBron James. Make sure somebody else on the team beats us besides LeBron James, and then he lays it up. Come on, what are we doing here? Make
yeah.
Dwayne Wade beat you. Make sorry ass Chris Bosh beat you.
Birdman.
Yeah. What do you think about, Ryan, what do you think about the two series going on? Well, obviously one's over, but what do you think about the Heat-Pacers?
Heat-Pacers, well, I think that series is probably over, so you're probably looking at Spurs versus Heat. I guess anything can happen, but...
Yeah, it's 2-1 right now. Miami's got the lead 2-1, so, I mean... They did say early in the season that, you know, if anybody was going to match up with the Heat, it would be the Pacers. But it just, I don't know. I'm thinking I just smell another Heat championship here.
Yeah, I just don't think – I think the Pacers are just not quite there yet. I think give them a couple of years. They're a young team. So I don't think they're just not quite at the upper echelon where the Heat are at right now. I mean, if the Heat win three championships, you can make an argument that they may be the best team ever assembled.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Bulls or the Bulls with Jordan and Pippen or the Heat right now? Who do you think wins?
I'd take the
Michael.
Heat.
I'll take Michael.
Oof. I'd take Michael, too.
Oof. Whatever.
You're outnumbered over there.
You have three guys who could potentially guard LeBron. You have Scottie. You have Rodman, who could actually probably match up really well. A Rodman in his prime could match up really well with LeBron and Pippen as well. And Michael, of course, could probably guard anybody as well. I actually don't think that, unless Wade was playing at his very best, and that's been several years since he's played at his very best, I actually like the Bulls in a rout. I don't think it would even be very close. LeBron wouldn't be able to contain MJ. MJ would just dice him up and hit those little fadeaways that MJ was hitting good. I don't even think it would be close because you have three guys who could guard LeBron. Whereas you think about the Indiana Pacers, Paul George can kind of guard LeBron. And then you look down the rest of the roster and it's nobody that could even contend with LeBron. And you start looking ahead to the Spurs, they might have 1.5 guys who can contain LeBron. Whereas the Bulls team would literally have three guys who could guard LeBron James. And I think that would carry the Bulls through if you could play that mythical matchup.
All right. Well, just to start a little debate here, what about the Jordan Bulls versus the Kobe Bryant and Shaq Lakers?
Ooh, I think I would still take the Bulls there. I think I would take that Bulls team over anybody.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't...
Choking the Lakers would be difficult, I think, a little difficult for the Bulls. Like, the best Showtime Lakers team, whenever that was, 86 or whenever it was. I don't know. Those Bulls teams... The Bulls team is pretty hard to beat because nobody could contain. I don't see anybody containing MJ.
Yeah.
So who would guard Shaq?
I guess nobody could really guard Shaq, but it gets to the point where, you know, are you playing Hack as Shaq? The Bulls had Phil Jackson at that time. So maybe if the Lakers had Phil Jackson and the Bulls had some other kind of coach, maybe I'll take the Lakers. But Phil Jackson's a big reason why those teams were so successful as well.
Yeah, there is Bill Cartwright and Kukoc was a forward.
Are we putting Bill Cartwright and Shaquille O'Neal in the same category?
Well, I mean, he said who's going to guard him. I mean, that would be one of the guys.
Like putting Beadrenz in the same category with Shaq. Maybe not that bad, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody. Shaq in his prime, man, was like nobody played in the key like Shaq.
Well, everybody knows Shaq's prime was when he was in Orlando. So, I mean, he was maybe a little bit, you know, he wasn't quite as good on the Lakers, but he was about 75% as good as he was on the Magic. I mean, everybody knows that. And he made all of his money at LSU. So, we actually have a caller that wants to talk hockey. Just to switch gears real quick, wants to talk some rookie anthology hockey. So we're going
to
go ahead and bring on Brandon.
I think he wants to call you out for your bad knowledge.
That was just a quiz. I gave you a quiz if you passed. That's all it was. All right. Go ahead and bring on Brandon here. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, guys? What's up, Mojo?
What's going
Not
on?
Not much, man. How you doing out there?
Wishing it was a three-box mixer today for Dominion and Panini Prime, but I'll take the card show talk anyways.
So just, you wanted to ask our opinion on some anthology, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm trying to do some research. Is this product going to have the first Prism hockey card?
It's going to be actually a bonus pack in the box. So each box is going to have a bonus pack of Prism hockey. So I'm thinking that's going to sell the product well, plus the anticipation of not having many hockey releases this year. I think this is going to be a pretty good set. I mean, it did well last year. And there's such an anticipation for hockey this year, plus with the Crown Royale inserts and the titanium rookies, and then who knows what those gold, you know, Prism hockey cards are going to sell for, plus being only one pack a box is going to make them even more limited.
Yeah, so that is right. So, I heard there's going to be some Prism autos or Prism golds, but I love the Prism basketball. I mean, that's probably by far my favorite product of the year. But I was hoping that – I'm a big hockey hobby guy, and I was hoping there were some Prism goals in hockey, so that's why I called.
Yeah, definitely. And we're hoping that next season is going to, you know, back to regular schedule and there's going to be a lot more hockey releases. That's one of the reasons why Mojo Breaks just is doing, like, maybe one every 2 weeks, because it's just – I think without as many rookies and things like that, people's attention isn't there. So you got – you know, diehards like yourself that keep buying and keep getting into breaks, but without buzz on certain products, it's just the hockey hobby industry right now is not where it is. But I think next year it's going to be like a double rookie class, similar to basketball, and I think it's going to be big next year.
Yeah, it doesn't help that your best rookie card right now is Chris Kreider and Jaden Schwartz.
Right, and then Sven, you know, is the other, probably the third guy, but. Yeah, so I think next year you're going to get that just kind of similar to what basketball did this year. And I think if I'm thinking what Dan's thinking, Prime is also going to have a pack of Dominion in there. So I think that's the next release after Rookie Anthology. But I think they bumped up the price by like $20-$30, and they're going to have Dominion in Prime. So there's going to be no Dominion release this year.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Not many people can afford a $400 box with not many great hits, with not many great rookies.
Right, yeah. I think what they're going to do is they're going to do the veterans and then the few rookies, put them on Dominion, but they're not going to have a big print run for Dominion, so they're going to put it in Prime.
Nice. Well, I'm glad I'm the only hockey card hobby guy on this call, so I appreciate y'all taking my call. It's just you guys probably have hockey below your press pass NASCAR race cards on your list. But
not at all.
What we got to work on is get some all these Canadian and European buyers that buy off eBay on a daily basis hockey cards, we've got to get them involved in this. I think it'll be big time.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think we'll ramp up next year and I mean, but you on the flip side, everybody's getting great deals on hockey breaks right now too. So
exactly. The only problem is the shipping to Canada. But you know, they can. I'm sure you guys can work something out with that.
Well, we're actually it's great that you brought that up because we've actually been talking to check out my cards, and we're offering Canadian. We're going to start hopefully offering Canadian overseas customers an ability to just ship directly to check out my card, so they'll actually have access faster. I mean, I know that doesn't help out their PC, but it gives them an extra option and saving on shipping too.
So speaking of check out my cards, what's your all's take on this? So I guess you can submit a card into check out my cards. You can obviously buy cards off there, but you can also submit to BGS, to Beckett, but they also have a new option where you can submit to a condition review. Is that just to kind of give you a brief idea of what your card would go for?
Hey, Ryan, if you want to take that, have you ever submitted it for a condition review? I think it's like $2 to have check out my card, let you know if it's in gradable shape, I'm assuming.
I have not. That's a relatively new thing that they're offering. And one thing I was thinking about that would be good for is either maybe a card you purchase on there or maybe a card that you're thinking about purchasing that could be, like, expensive. They have a pretty good zoom-in option, but they do have some people over there that really know about cards. I'm not sure which people over there would be reviewing the cards, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if you're trying to drop a lot of money or maybe grade it, buy and grade, or maybe a card that you have on there. I guess it's not a bad option, $2. I mean, I guess that's not that much if the card you're kind of reviewing could go up a lot in value or you could get a good grade on it. The scan should tell you a lot, though, because you should be able to zoom in a lot, look at those edges, look at the back edges, centering, obviously. So I was thinking about that. And I like how you can now just go directly to BGS on there. It's a new thing, so I haven't tried it yet. I might even just try it just to see how the whole process works, how much it costs.
It's $14 on a single card. I know that because I tried it. I didn't submit it, but it was $14 for a single card. They basically send the card for you, so you don't have to deal with shipping and stuff like that, and then they obviously probably track it and everything. So once it's graded, it gets sent back to them, and then it goes right back in your inventory.
Yeah, that's probably, right. That condition review is probably a great idea, especially when you're buying a card that has a book value, let's say, of $300, and there's three cards listed, one for $50, one for $150, and one for $350. You know,
right.
If you're interested
right.
in the $350 or the $150, you could send it in for a condition review and see if the seller is really realistic in his price.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I might have to do that I might have to do a condition review just to kind of give you guys feedback. I might just try it with one of my cards and see if they tell you, because they obviously can't give it a grade, but maybe they can say, I would grade this or I wouldn't. I don't know what they're going to do, but I should try it just to see what the feedback is.
And then I have one last question. Maybe I don't know if anyone else in the chat box has heard of this product, but it's made by, I just want to see kind of how reputable it is, but it's made by S-Bay Cards. And their super boxes. Do you all know anything about their super boxes?
I know those guys have been in business. They've had a card shop. I've actually talked to the guy once that owned the shop. They've been in business for a long time, and it's definitely a buyback product. I know they're a reputable company, but it's it is taking a chance on a buyback product. There's some Chase cards. I think they have a Mickey Mantle in there, so that's the big Chase card. But I think usually on any buyback product, you're probably looking at 30% return on your investment on an average box. So, I would probably think it would be similar with their stuff.
Yeah, probably similar to Heroes of Sport.
Right. I think Leaf has the best return on investment of buyback cards because Brian Graves came out and said he only makes like 10% profit, where other companies like he didn't say Heroes of Sport, but he said other companies will tend to double their money on their cards. So they'll buy $500,000 in cards and make $500,000. So then the value's not quite there.
Speaking of Leaf, Mojo's been killing it with Best of Leaf Hockey, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's been a great product for us. We should get more
of it. Absolutely killing it. All right, guys, well, I'll let you continue your show. Pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll have to, when hockey gets back in the swing, we'll have to have you come on, maybe help us do reviews and stuff on hockey products.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Cool. Well, that was awesome. That was definitely a lot of hockey and some good Valley questions. It gave us some content here, so glad he came on. Because I was wondering that check out my cards thing myself. I saw it when I clicked on my card. It said submit for condition review, and it gave me the COMC option, or it gave me Beckett option. So, I'm wondering myself what they offer as far as their own condition review.
Yeah, that's a pretty new thing that they've had over there. I've only read about it. I think that you said I'll have to just try it out, maybe do the boat. $14 to grade one single cart. It's not bad. It would cost you more if you did that your own way, shipping and all that stuff, and insurance and FedEx and all this stuff. So.
Exactly, because I think I did one card once for $11, and then I had to pay – I insured it, and I shipped in a flat rate. So I think my shipping was like $10. And then I think you have to pay Beckett $10 to ship it back.
Right, with the tracking.
So it's like if you send in a single card, sometimes you can be looking at, you know, $30, you know, just to get it graded.
Right. Not a bad option. With the rookie anthology that should be coming out really soon here, it looks like there's going to be 100 total Prism cards each box. But each box will have a 3-card pack of Prisms, Prism Hockey, 52 base cards, 48 rookie cards, red Prism number to 50, blue Prism number to 25, gold Prism number to 10. And then they are coming out with, what will that be, 2013, 2014 Panini Prism. That'll be in, I think, September, August. I think they've probably even previewed that set already.
So they're kind of giving
a the whole rookie class. I think it'll be the first. Well, they're coming out with Score, but it'll be one of the first products with that double rookie class. Look for that to be spectacular. So you kind of get a little preview of it in Rookie Anthology with the 3-card kind of preview pack. It'll be hot. That'll be kind of hot.
Those goals should maybe get close to basketball numbers, I would think. I know the hockey market's a little softer right now compared to basketball on the secondary, but, I mean, this being that there's only 3 cards a pack, I would assume it would be very, very tough to pull a gold. So if you're lucky enough to pull a gold, it's going to be – you should be able to get some money for those.
It'll be good. That'll be interesting. Well, hang on. I'll have to keep track of this because this comes out next first – or we're scheduled for June 5th, I believe, unless it's changed in the last couple of days. So it'll be a good set.
Yeah, and there's and the regular box, it's four hits, and then plus the bonus Prism pack. So you could potentially get your 4 hits, and then if you get a gold in the Prism pack, I mean, it's just like a 5th hit there. I mean, that'll be your best hit probably of the box.
Right. Hell yeah.
So
yeah. A little bonus.
Yeah. So hopefully that kind of raises some buzz about hockey because literally, if you go on Blowout and you just click on 12-13 hockey, I mean, it's like a one-pager compared to football and, you know, baseball. I mean, you got, like, Artifacts, Limited came out this year, Classic, Certified, SP Game Use, Fleer Retro, and that's it. I mean, Black Diamond, I mean, there's hardly any releases this year. So I think hockey fans are waiting for something good, and hopefully Rookie Anthology hits the mark.
Right, or everybody will just have to. I hate how the companies just kind of shut down on the hockey this year. I couldn't imagine if your business, like maybe you had a card shop in Canada or something, even distributors in Canada, to have, first of all, the products. I mean, the amount of products that they came out with was like, you know, one-third. I think each came out with like 4 or 5 products. And it wasn't even their kind of bread and butter. Upper Deck's included in this as well. So I couldn't imagine being a hobby shop owner or a distributor or something. And for a whole year, like, you're literally wiped out because of this lockout and because of the decision to, you know, and we see it kind of with the Rookie Premier, how they only work on like 5 sets, even though this is like the biggest day of their whole entire calendar. So the same idea with hockey, by the time the lockout got over, I believe it was in January, they just didn't have enough time. To get new rookie, get new content, they have a rookie premiere for the hockey guys as well. Didn't have time to do all that stuff. And it's just, you know, okay, well, we're not going to make any we're going to severely cut back on our hockey product. So.
Well, what's interesting is because that's Upper. Yeah, what's interesting is that that's Upper Deck's only licensed product. I mean, they have a collegiate license for the other sports, but that's the only one they actually have a full-fledged license for. You would think that they would, you know, try to come out with maybe not quite as much if they had the rookie products, but, you know, come out with some more creative ideas on how they could get products out there. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the NHLPA is saying you can't put out products, right? I mean, they could still make products. So it's interesting.
Right.
And I know when the SP game used, they had the redemptions for the rookie class. Basically, it said you do a rookie from the Jets or from the Blackhawks. So they hadn't named them yet. So they put those in there to give you, you know, a taste of the rookies, but very similar to what Panini did last year with their hockey products, I mean, with their basketball products. So, but I'm not sure what the thought was. I mean, you think that that's one of their bread and butters is paying for that license, Upper Deck, that they would be the company out of ITG and Panini that make hockey products, that they would be the one that's going to put out a bunch of products this year, but they didn't.
Well, you figure since they have, you figure since they have Gretzky, they would try to cash in on that a little bit and make a product similar to what Panini did with Classics or Classic Signatures or whatever that was with the throwback old school on card autos. You figure Upper Deck would have came out with something similar to that. And they can throw Gretzky in their product, so you figure they would try something like that, and they didn't. So, I mean, you look at, like, Upper Deck must have really had a tough year because, like you said, that is their only licensed product would be hockey. So,
well,
that's you figure they would come up with some kind of creative ways to get, you know, at least three-quarters of what they normally produce. I feel what you're saying.
Well, what's also interesting is that, okay, they do have the Gretzky license. We've seen them put out this, like, ridiculously high-end product of Michael Jordan, and they just did it with Tiger Woods. I mean, we're talking about a $4,000 retail box. I'm surprised they didn't push out a Gretzky product this year. You know, like a
Gretzky. Can you get that at Walmart?
Yeah, I think it's in the gun collection. You know, you got to unlock it. It's right next to the gun.
Can you get the Tiger Woods collection? Can I get a Tiger Woods collection at Walmart? Is that possible?
Target exclusive.
Target exclusive $4,000 pack.
Put it on the red card. Save 5%. That would be the time to open a red card, actually.
Did you guys see that? Did you see the Tiger Woods thing? I'm trying to see if I can find it on Blowout here. It was like close to 5,000. I think you get like three or four Tiger Woods autographs in total. You get like a manufactured flag from like Pebble Beach or something like that where he signed on. You get like 200 base cards that are all limited. And then you get like, I believe, a book card with an auto. It could be low as a number to 101, but I don't think it's higher than 15. So I know Tiger stuff. I think did you guys own any Tiger Woods autos? I think I heard you talking about that at one point.
My brother,
you and Colin.
Out in person. Yeah, my brother got one in person at a tournament. And then we have, back in the day, there was a really good deal. It was called FC Signature Golf, and they were these 8x10 autographs. It's random because I even still have some. And this was like 15 years ago. I still have some in my room. I'm looking at a Kenny Perry one right now. But I have a Tiger Woods one. And so per case, you would guarantee one Tiger Woods autograph, and then what? And the funny thing was, there was a hot box that had two autographs per pack or whatever. And I think there was like five packs per box or something like that. And so you were guaranteed a Tiger Woods autograph, and these cases were only like $400 or $500. So you could scoop out the Tiger Woods autograph because you knew which box it was in. And then each pack had these cards in it too. You had got an autograph 8x10, and then they had these cards in it. They'd have like jersey cards and stuff. So literally, me and my brother went through like three or four cases, ended up with I think a couple. We still have maybe one or two of the Tiger Woods 8x10 autographs still. Tiger Woods is awesome. Like, that was the best deal though back in the day. It was called FC Signature. When were these made? This was 2004. And those are dirt cheap. It was like dirt cheap. You could guarantee the Tiger Woods autograph per case. So, I'm
wow.
Not that.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. And looking at the it's retails for $4,499, so we'll call it $4,500. It's one piece of autographed Tiger Woods memorabilia, which I think is the manufactured flag, two additional Tiger Woods autographs, one Slambalaya or Masterpiece signature card, one championship gear memorabilia card, and an 80-card base set. So you're basically essentially getting three Tiger Woods autographs and then a memorabilia card and an 80 base card set. And it's in this big old – I watched a break of it on YouTube, and it's in this just massive, like, wood box that screams, I'm rich, you know, like one of those that's just one of these when you do one of these.
Shoot, time up.
One of those. You got to have that kind of – you have to have that long money, the long money to afford one of those. So, and I know they did the Jordan, too, which was very similar. It had the same kind of breakdown where you get three Jordan autos and stuff like that. So I'm surprised they didn't do it with Gretzky. You know, they didn't have much – this would be the perfect year to do it. Like, you have the Gretzky license, put it out. Maybe it doesn't have to be as high priced, but they could have done a Gretzky Master Collection. Maybe he didn't want to do it. I don't know.
Maybe they are doing it. Maybe it's in the works.
Could be. Yeah. The Landon one would be next as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can put a puck in there with an auto. Just have them sign 200, 300 pucks. Throw those in there. Little memorabilia.
We got another caller that wants to talk hockey here, so we're gonna bring on Andrew real quick and talk some more hockey. This is the most hockey we've ever talked. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going, guys?
What's going on,
man? We're just hanging out. What's new on the hockey tip that we, you know, maybe haven't discovered out there?
Well, you guys are along the right path with what you're talking about on with the manufacturers cutting things short and whatnot. What's happened with most of them is they did start the production of all of these cards, so they had all the sets. So that's why when you look at the Rookie Anthology QC gallery, there's a lot of cards that are normally in other sets that they just threw into Rookie Anthology. Because they created these cards. And their whole thought process was, okay, well, as soon as the strike ends, we'll be able to throw everything out. Now, the NHL is a little different with the way that they handle their rookies compared to your Major League Baseball and basketball and whatnot. They have to skate a minimum of 5 games before they can create a card for them. So what happens is these guys have skated the 5 games, but the NHLPA turned around and said, oh, hey, hold on. Because it's a short season, we don't want you producing any of these guys' cards until the end of the season. So the end of the season actually is considered July 1st when they do the draft. That's when the new season starts, and that's when they can start producing the double rookie class cards. So Upper Deck has been gearing up solely for that. So they're going to start pumping out the cards July 1st.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I'm looking even at Blowout, and there's no pre-sale except for, like, Score, Prime, and Dominion. So I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting for sell sheets to be made and stuff to be announced completely before they start pre-selling some of this stuff. Because a lot of times there's three, 4 months ahead of time.
Yeah, and that's the thing is they're going to start pumping them out soon. But the thing is they had to really hold off because of, you look at their Upper Deck with the Cup is one of their high-end products, and Dominion is the high-end product for Panini. When they produce those, the whole big piece of that is the rookies. And
right.
Last year's rookie class wasn't that great, really. So they didn't want to have your $500 box of cards with getting 5 cards sitting on Chris Kreider and Sven Barchi. It wouldn't sell that product. So now that they have the double rookie class coming out, that's when they'll start producing the high-end products again.
And okay.
And like with the Gretzky, that's a great idea. Upper Deck should definitely do that. But Gretzky's really touchy as to how much he'll sign of any one product. Even though Upper Deck has the exclusive, he doesn't want the market flooded, so he's very careful as to how much he signs per year so that he doesn't flood the market.
Devalue
everybody's Gretzky card.
Right, and he doesn't want to devalue his probably his own in-person signings or things like that by saying, oh, I can buy a card for you for cheaper than you charge me to sign in person or whatnot. So I'm sure that comes on some of these guys' mind as well.
Exactly, and there's a company up here in Canada. They're in Toronto. It's called Framework Sports, and they do pictures, prints, pucks, that sort of thing. And they actually just had a dinner with Wayne Gretzky, and they were selling the dinner, I think, for $1,800 a spot, where you could go
Holy
and have
crap.
Dinner with Wayne Gretzky. Yeah, so it's $1,800 per person to go have dinner with Wayne Gretzky and a few hundred other people. And then on top of that, if you wanted like a jersey signed, I think it was $1,800 or $1,000 just to have his autograph put on a jersey.
Now, with the $1,800, did you get a happy ending? I'm just kidding.
No. You did get a picture with him, and you got a handshake. You didn't get a full handy, but you got a handshake at least.
Man, it must be serving, like, you know, on gold-plated, you know, get some caviar. And that's crazy. I mean, there is some hardcore Gretzky fans that I know would pay for that. So there's definitely a market for it.
Absolutely, and that's where Upper Deck, if they wanted to, they could probably produce that whole card set, but a lot of Gretzky collectors, they'd rather collect an actual jersey or a puck or a stick, and not necessarily just a card of them, and that's where your hockey fans are a bit different than what you see in the States, where there's a lot of card collectors to draw from.
Right.
Whereas in Canada, it's a smaller population, and hockey cards are starting to get back popular again after the 90s blowout of every card in the world and 50 million cards produced of each one and all that other stuff. But it's still, they're marketing it to a much smaller community because it's not as big in the States.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And yeah, I know I've noticed a lot more hockey collectors have more, like yourself, have the seats. You have more sticks, more pucks, so it's a different kind of a collector. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. But I am noticing now, with the NHL pushing out to the smaller U.S. markets, and it is starting to get out there, and there's people that are starting to collect in places that I would never have thought that people would be collecting hockey. And
yeah.
Like you've got your Texas collectors, you've got guys down in California that are pretty hardcore into hockey now, and they're starting to come up, but it's taking a while to get those collectors.
Yeah. Yeah, I think next year will definitely, I think, be, just from forecasting, it looks like it's going to be a lot stronger of products. There's going to be more of it. So I think it's going to be back in full force after this kind of shortened season.
Yeah, the shortened season, and with the NHLPA basically telling them that, no, you can't produce any rookie cards this year, it sort of did hurt them, but Upper Deck does have other sports and non-sports that they produce, and Panini has everything, so they're not hurting, but they decided, well, let's hold back, and like you've got Rookie Anthology that's going to have your Prism pack in it, and you're going to have all these cards that are from other sets that are dropped in there. And then when Prime is released, they're actually putting a couple Dominion cards in every pack of Prime this year.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's going to be awesome. Prime's going to, I think they bumped it up like $20 a box, $20, $30 a box. And it looks like there's a lot more added value with Prime this year.
Absolutely. And so those will be the big ones. And then Upper Deck, they actually did a really good job with SP Game Used and SP Authentic this year.
Yeah,
I
like SP Game Used a lot.
Yeah, just because they shortened and cut back as to what they were producing, they did a whole different sort of spec on it and put more value into it just to try and draw those collectors into spending money. And like I know a lot of them sold out pretty quick just because they were limited and because there wasn't that much hockey, people just wanted to buy what was out there.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, in the game is the place to go because they have no rules because they don't have licenses.
Right.
So they produce whatever they want whenever they want. And this year, like their Heroes and Prospects, I thought was a really well done product with the 3D cards and the huge memorabilia patches of all these guys that are going to be rookies in this next pack.
Nice. Yeah, I know that's one of the benefits of not having a license this year is, you know, utilizing that. But we got Cardboard Tracker coming on here, but we'll have to do another show just on hockey. So we'll have to have both you guys come back. And you've already been on the show once, Andrew. I know we did one of our first hockey breaks, and you joined in on Blog TV. So you've been a longtime supporter of our breaks and the show. So we'd like to thank you, and we'll have to do another a show like a big bash next year when hockey starts kind of going in full swing.
Hey, absolutely. Andrew, you got a prediction for tonight for the King Sharks game and maybe tomorrow the Blackhawks and Red Wings? There you go.
I think the Kings will win it tonight, and I honestly I didn't think Chicago would come back, but I actually think after watching last night's game, Chicago's going to win this series. So I'm thinking Kings and Hawks are going to go into the West Finals.
Yeah, that's what I have as well. But we'll see. It's been the Shark series has been amazing. It's been good hockey all around.
Absolutely. But, I'm just a little biased because I don't want to see Gomez go for the Cup after Montreal bought him out.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, man. Well, thanks again, man. Thanks for coming on and sharing the knowledge as always. We always appreciate it.
Not a problem.
All right, man. Take care.
Yeah,
all right. So, yeah, that's awesome. We got to get these guys on more. We got to talk more hockey. We got to get schooled to hockey, you know. So we'll get it down.
This has been, it's been 40 minutes, and we have pretty much been talking nothing but hockey. This is awesome. I like it.
It's talk golf.
And golf. What? Whoa.
And that's all off season.
Ryan, I'm going to go ahead and give you before we bring on Cardboard Tracker here, go ahead and give your thoughts. I'm actually going to step away for just a couple seconds here. I want to hear Ryan's an outsider from, we're going to kind of go right into group breaks here. And I want to hear Ryan's opinion of group breakers in 2013. He's going to give an unbiased opinion on, you know, where it's heading with the 2013 football. There's so many of us popping up. And what the future may hold. So go ahead and start it off, Ryan, and Dan, you can interject, and I'll be right back.
Oh, man, this is great because I love the whole group breaking phenomenon. I think the first time I ever heard about the kind of group breaking thing was from you guys. You guys, I think, were one of the first guys that were doing it. I think the only other time I had done it was back in like the 1990s, a whole bunch, like about three or four of us would throw down on a box, and we would play pack wars with the packs. We'd go to like the mall or something, or be in the card shop. We'd open the pack. I remember one time I hit a Tony Gwynn on-card autographic. That was like the box hit or whatever, and everybody was mad, and I won everybody's cards and stuff, and I did pretty well on that.
Nice.
But you guys were kind of one of the first people that were doing it. And, you know, I think it really got hot. The kind of group breaking got really hot in terms of the business, people kind of starting these websites and stuff, because of 2012 football. You look at even one of the distributors at the Las Vegas Industry Summit, he said it was the hottest year of football cards ever. And I don't know if you can remember back to 1990 Pro Set or the 1991 kind of when the cards were really hot, everything was hot back in those days.
Yeah.
Then 2006, you had Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Vince Young. You go back a few years earlier, there was like Donovan McNabb, Cade McNown, who was the first round pick. He had hype, granted. Dante Culpepper, Akili Smith, and Tim Cross. Now, those guys busted. But you didn't know they were going to be a bust until usually years later. Or at least well into the season, their first or second season. So cards were really hot then as well. I think that was 1999. I was working in a card shop. So, but last year you had such a great rookie class, and all of this card stuff has moved online by and large. There's less hobby shops than there were back in the day. Target and Walmart is not going to fulfill
any serious collectors fantasies and collection, it's just not going to work. You're not going to get enough of your cards. You have to go online. You have to go on eBay. You have to go, buy online, by and large, if you want to kind of take part in some of these things. And one thing that's great about group breaking is it's gotten people an affordable opportunity to get into some five-star, some museum collection, some of this product that costs $400-$500 a box that you never in your wildest dreams would probably spend $400-$500 on a box of cards. I wouldn't. I wouldn't spend $400-$500 on a box of cards and open it unless I knew I was getting a Tiger Woods autograph, like back in the day. You know, I'd have to be guaranteed some things. But you could get in affordably in a break, $50, $60, sometimes a lot less than that, sometimes less than $10, you can get into a break. So I think it was really good. I think you saw it blow up really quickly because it's easy to start a group breaking company. All you really need is probably you don't even need a dang business. You could probably get away with it without a business license. The essential thing you need is a webcam and some sort of way for people to pay you, whether that's all through Blog TV. I mean, it's not Blog TV anymore, but or whether that was all through, you know, how and I'm assuming it all started through YouTube, that it wasn't live. And the fact that live streaming video will become easier as the years roll on, really as the months roll on, live streaming video will become easier, better, better user experience. These are all things that are going to get better, and that should help the industry as a whole. I think with the 2013 products across all the sports, football probably you're looking at a soft, baseball probably soft unless some rookie really breaks out toward the end of the year. I could see some of the Bowman products, Bowman draft products being decent toward the end of the season because there are some, it should be a somewhat decent MLB draft coming up in a couple weeks. Some exciting players will be picked and will probably be in some of those sets. And with the NBA, you're looking at a soft NBA class. We don't have a LeBron coming in. We don't have a Shaquille O'Neal coming in, somebody that generates a tremendous amount of excitement. So it's going to be a softer NBA market. I can see some breakers getting into the industry having some struggles leading forward. But that's going to happen in every kind of new venture or new kind of business venture into the hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happen a lot. The market will consolidate a little bit because there just won't be as much demand for the football, for the baseball. I mean, last week, Bryce Harper rookie cards were in 2012 baseball, and you had the Mike Trout phenomenon. So I think you're going to see
And even before that, when it first started, you had the Strasburg as well. So I mean, it was like it's just been like a chain of events of like these once in a generation like players coming up, at least baseball and football. And I think you saw a lot of these group breakers pop up because they're like, man, it's like there's so many players that are just hitting right now. They're once in a generation player that it's bringing in those people who may have collected 10 years ago, 15 years ago, bringing them back into it because they're like, man, like now you have cards with autographs and you have like these guys who are amazing players and are going to be superstars. And you look at the secondary market and the secondary market's going through the roof with these guys. So there's money to be made. And I think that's why you just saw it blow up. I think it was just a chain of events, both baseball and football, where you just had once-in-a-lifetime talent, like rookie classes that were coming out that were just amazing. And it was just it was like the stronghold and just built this industry. And getting back to the pro set, I don't know if Doug remembers, and maybe Ryan. Ryan, do you remember a card company called Wild Card?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And they had – and I was just going through some of my, like, older cards and, like, my PC stuff. Because I collected like in the early to mid 90s and stuff like that, and they had this Wild Card company had these cards called Super Chrome Rookies. and it was like a subset, like a little insert. And they're amazing cards. I gotta bring some and show Doug. And you guys should check them out on eBay. You can still find them. They're dirt cheap because they probably made a bunch of them. But yeah, it was wild card, and the set was Super Chrome Rookies, and they're pretty good. And it had guy. It was the year with Rick Meyer and Drew Bledsoe. So I think it was like 93, and it had like Garrison Hurst and Dana Stubblefield rookie, and they were sick. And I don't remember what the pack was. I want to say the packs were like probably $3 or $4, but I was going through it and I'm like, wow, I'm like, they actually called them Super Chrome Rookies. That's kind of cool. And it had like a kind of a foil chrome look to it as well.
Yeah, bring that.
I was wondering if Ryan remembered back in the day that set.
Oh yeah. And they had the stripe redemption to where you get
yeah.
it and you'd have the 100 stripe and you send it in the wild card and send you 100 rookies of that player. Or whatever, you know. I mean, that was an innovative little startup. I wish there were more of them now, but now these days it's so impossible to get a license that
yeah.
you know, you have the ITGs out there, as Andrew was just talking about. You have Leaf and some other players in the space, but you know, who do innovative things. So it's interesting. I do remember those cards. Those were still have some. I'm sure I still have some of those. Somewhere,
yeah, they're sick. Next time I see you guys, I gotta bring some of them because I was going through it. I'm like, man, I'm like they were onto something here. This is a cool little subset, and that's when like when you would open up a pack, you would look for the inserts. The inserts would fall like one box or something like that. They were actually hard to get. I remember I at the same time I collected a Fleer Flare, which was like a thicker card stock. And they were
yeah.
kind of like a higher, like they weren't like a high end card, but they were like a full bleed card. Huge fan of those, and the inserts that you wanted were the Wave of the Future inserts, and they were all the rookies. Like I think Mike Piazza had one, Cliff Floyd, Preston Wilson, guys like that, and that stuff. Like that's the stuff that I remember collecting when I was a kid, and it was just a completely different ball game than it is now.
Right. Well, we got our guests. Go ahead, Dan.
Yep. Nope. Go ahead.
I said we got our guests waiting. We got Donovan here, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. We're going to talk about his site, which is cardboardtracker.com. Very interesting. I'll let him pretty much explain what goes down. And we're also, in the spirit of what we just talked about, we're going to give away a autographed hockey puck tonight. So listen in. It'll be soon during this interview that's kind of going to involve you guys going to cardboardtracker.com as well. So it's an autographed hockey puck, and I'll let you guys know who it is. It's not Gretzky, which it was, but it's an autographed hockey puck, and we'll go ahead and send it free to the person that calls in. So stay tuned for that later in the show. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring on Donovan from Cardboard Tracker. What's going on, Donovan? How you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing
good.
Great, man. Thanks for coming on the show. The site is cardboardtracker.com. It's got all four major sports kind of represented, and basically you kind of give like a hot sheet or like a weekly risers, plus you can kind of go through pros and prospects. Kind of explain to us the purpose of the site and how one would use it.
Yeah, I mean, this all came about. I got back into – I used to collect, like you were talking about, I used to collect in my late 80s, early 90s, and – I got back into it in 2010 with, like, the birth of my kid. I thought it would be cool to get some cards that, you know, from that year. And I was just blown away, you know, with the Strasburg stuff and, you know, all the autos on cards. And I was hooked. And, you know, from there, you know, I dug deeper. And my main thing was I couldn't figure out what, you know, what was really going on other than, you know, you're watching players on, you know, you're watching stats and stuff, but there's just so much information that you really don't have a quick idea of, you know, what's actually going on in the market. So what I try to do here is basically, you know, pull the popular rankings from eBay, and I track them on a daily basis. And from that you can see, you know, ranking-wise, players that go up and down, you know, from day to day. And then you can actually take a look back. Now I'm rolling out a new feature where you can actually see 7 to 30 days back, and you can see how their rankings change, you know, over the past 30 days. But, you know, I mean, that was my main thing was I had no way of getting that big picture of what was actually going on in the, and, you know, as far as players before it's too late.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the weekly risers here, and I mean, is there some buy low candidates that you would recommend right now? I know like Michael Wacha's coming up. Nick Franklin just got called up. Is there certain guys that you're trying to PC right now that?
Franklin was one of mine, and now he got called up, I've got PCing it. Especially with prospecting, it goes in different levels. There's guys that you want to get now that you think are going to be good in a couple years from now, and just kind of put them away. And then then there's the guys that are knocking on the door that you want to catch when everybody's sleeping. The good thing about this is you kind of get that idea of, okay, nobody's really paying attention now. If it's someone like Jackie Bradley, he came up, he's gone down, now everybody's, okay, it's cooled on him. Nobody's really paying attention to him, even though his stuff's still somewhat valuable, it's not, the market's not what it was at the beginning of April.
Right.
So it's basically, just trying to figure out where that value is, and hopefully the site can aid people in trying to see that value, or at least see it on its way up, or see when it's tracking down if there's a player you like.
Well, and I actually when you were in the chat a couple weeks ago, I started using your site kind of regularly, and I actually picked up a couple Renato Nunez's on Check Out My Cards. And I picked one up for like $12, just a base auto, and I literally sold it for $24 the next day. So, based on just seeing him climbing on your ranking. So, if anybody does, granted, you're not going to make a ton of money on prospects, but you can make a few couple bucks if you notice there's not a whole lot on eBay, or if you go and check out my cards and there's not a whole a slew of inventory on a certain guy. You can pick up a Clayton Blackburn or a Mark Montgomery, and turn around and make a few bucks and maybe really buy a car that you really want.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too, you get on eBay and you just start typing away, searching, and before you know it, your head's spinning because you've got 20 pages open with between prospect sheets and scattering reports and just tracking or trying to pull up stuff on eBay. At least I try to make that easier for people so they can, they can see the player and they can quickly get to their auction, or they can click on the link of the player and then they can actually see what's popular for that player. So I'm showing all the watched items for that player, and you can get an idea of what people are actually keying in on specifically for that player without having to go hunting through, listings on eBay.
Sure. Who's been the biggest? I think you have it on your front page. Who's been the biggest riser in the last couple days?
Well, the funny thing is, with all the hockey talk here, it's really been Torey Krug from the Bruins, which is just been insane. Relatively unknown, gets called up because of injuries, to the defense of the team. And his cards, you could have picked up a couple weeks ago for $3 are going for over 100 right now, which is insane.
Wow. Yeah, and especially with the way, without the hockey releases as much, just like we were talking about. You guy was way under the radar. That's a big jump on investment,
Yeah. And that's, it's good. You could definitely see it. I just started tracking the rankings for hockey, so I didn't really catch that until, just this week. It really didn't happen until, these last 2 weeks anyway, so it wasn't a big deal, but that's just an amazing swing, to go from, $4 or $5 auto all the way up to $100 or $150 looks like now too.
Yeah, that's crazy. What do you think about Buxton right now? Do you think now would be most people are saying sell based on his price. A lot of his base autos, it seems like they're going for like $110. I can't really see you investing $110 and being able to turn around and make any money on something like that.
No, right now there's going to be a lull there. At some point, it's rare that you're going to get somebody who's you know, even at that, like Trout and Harper, they had those lulls where stuff was, you know, wasn't at the peak, and so you know that's where you want to try to catch it at the bottom of the wave. And right now he's just, you know, he's playing out of his mind. And there's another guy, Adam Walker on his team is playing just as well, but nobody's really, you know, paying much attention to him. And you know, his stuff, he's only got cards in Elite. So that's the only thing you can find him in. So we'll probably see something in Bowman in either, you know, the fall or probably next year with them. But you know, his stuff is, you know, his stuff has actually gone up now. But you know, in April you could have got them for, you know, under $10, and now they're around the $20 to $30 range.
Yeah, I noticed your little sip that I was looking for him on Check On My Cards, which he's not. But per your article here, he was 12 for 27 with 3 home runs, 13 RBIs in A ball. So he's going on quite a stretch. So definitely a guy to collect. And that's one of the things that, you know, people sleep on Elite boxes, but Elite's usually the first product that has. I mean, you look at Brandon Belt from, you know, 08 or 09. It was the first time he was in. His autos were in there. You find guys like these that aren't in licensed products. And, you know, Elite has such a deep checklist that if you invest in some of these guys, you can turn around and make money on them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot to be said about stuff that, you know, the secondary, you know, the products that people look at as secondary products or whatever, just as far as value, you know, even though it's a lower price right now, you can get a lot more at that lower amount, and those things multiply a lot if that guy hits. You know, I mean, I tend to like to try to find the guys who are, you know, under $5 or $10 and load up on those versus buying one big card and putting all your eggs in that, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, baseball prospecting is an art. I mean, I had a 2009 Bowman Sterling auto of Trout, and I sold it that year for like $25. I mean, you kick yourself now because it's a $300 card. And, you know, it's just picking the right time. So now it's like I'm not selling any of my prospects because it's like I don't want to sell it for $10. And now it's like a $200 card. So it's, you got to find the right time. I mean, I luckily held on to a Harvey Aflac auto that I just sold for $200. So,
yeah.
I mean, I could have sold it for $30 when I pulled it if I was trying to just get some money right back, you know.
Yeah, Harvey is an interesting story for me because he was actually one I had PC just because of he went to the high school that I went to. His father was actually the my PE coach / baseball coach, and I've seen him and then the other guy who was a prospect, Jesse Hahn. They both went to school together, and Jesse Hahn's with the Tampa Bay Rays. But, you know, so I followed him, and I just had, you know, more of a personal interest in collecting him. You know, I thought he'd be decent, but I didn't, you know, I never thought that, you know, it would be like he is now in terms of that. But, you know, I was able to get a few of those, and I have some redemptions that I'll probably never get signed to. But that's, you know, that's another day.
Definitely. Well, Ryan, I know you've collected data like this. Do you have any questions here for Donovan about his site?
I mean, how does a player, so say like some kind of scrub prospect, how does it trigger that he would make like the rankings or make like a ranker? How does like a lesser prospect all of a sudden, maybe he has a really good 10-game stretch or Baseball America mentions him on the hot sheet or something? How do you get triggered so that you know that it then starts tracking them?
It's basically off of the popular stuff from eBay. So, I mean, it's really, I think it's all that's derived off of, you know, watchers. So you can, you know, you can watch, if you click on like a player, you can see how many items are, you know, being watched and who's watching that. And so that's basically what's driving the market here. I mean, I've got a couple of other things that I'm toying with including into the rankings, but for right now that's the main driver. So it's not, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Google's like search rankings aren't, you know, they're always changing. This is, you know, this is one of those things that will evolve over time, you know. So if the site gets more used and I see more people on my site are looking for, you know, certain players too, then it, you know, and it'll help trigger some of that stuff too.
Sweet. Yeah.
Let's shout out the website address one more time. Shout out the website address again and how people can find you.
Oh, yes. It's cardboardtracker.com.
Yeah, and that's actually what we're going to do to start off this hockey puck giveaway. It's actually a V.A. Leno autographed Buffalo Sabres puck. We're going to give it away, but what you got to do is you got to go to cardboardtracker.com. And I know this is going to be a little cross sport here, but we want the baseball prospects weekly risers. We want you to call in and say who's the number one guy on that list right now. So, I'm going to clear the phone lines right now. And the first person to call in here. So I'm clearing the phone lines except for Donovan here. And first person to call in, 347-855-8815. Go on cardboardtracker.com and tell us the number one baseball prospect on the front page there. You'll win a V.A. Leno autographed Buffalo Sabres hockey puck. So we'll go ahead and wait for somebody to call in. And so what's your favorite team? Give us a little background about your collecting, like, sport-wise.
I grew up in the Bay Area originally, so it's nice. A's and Niners.
Nice.
Those are my two teams.
Are you a Bonds guy or no?
I was a Bonds guy, yeah.
nice. So are we.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, I actually got. When I was young, I was actually able to get a real auto from him. When I was like 9 or 10, surprisingly, because he's always been elusive for trying to get autos at games. But I hit him right. He was talking to a girl. So
nice. We're gonna go ahead and bring on. It looks like 720 was the first to get back on here after we cleared the line. So bring on 720. What's up, 720?
Big show is.
Brandon again, man. So you're a winner of the V.A. Leno if you name the prospect on the front page.
Oh, on the front page?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying on the prospect list.
I guess we could do either one. Now that you're on the site, that was the whole point, is to get people on the site.
Yeah. I'm on the prospect list, and it's Byron Buxton.
That's it. Winner.
All right.
Got it. So we'll go ahead and I think I've already got your info, so I'll go ahead and make sure I get this mailed out to you.
Do me a favor. Just save it for an upcoming break so you can save on shipping.
Sounds good, man. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Yeah, actually, a lot of people in our chat are loving your site, and they're bookmarking it, so I think we got you a little bit of traffic, but I'll be definitely paying attention to the site as I do a lot of check out my cards. And I just, when you popped in the chat the other day and just told us about it, I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, thanks for letting people know about it. Yeah. It's been something I've been into doing, and I just felt it's something that people would like to see too, and it definitely helps people try to, be able to see what's going on before, when it's happening, instead of, getting a hot list a month later from a magazine and that stuff's 2 months old, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the guy's already been 0 for 50 since they made that list or something, right?
Right.
So, cool, man. Well, thank you again for coming on the show, and we'll definitely be tweeting out your site and your Twitter handle, which actually it's Track Cards, @TrackCards on Twitter, correct?
Track Cards, yep.
All right, yeah, we'll go ahead and tweet that out to get you some followers there. And, if you guys are listening to this on the archives, make sure you check out cardboardtracker.com. And if anything, it helps you out with your PC, deciding maybe what to sell. If something's hot, maybe you didn't know that one of your prospects has actually moved up. Maybe you got that Michael Wacha sitting in there, or that Colton Wong that, you bought for cheap, and you can move it right now. So it's definitely an informative site.
Or your or A.J. Jenkins, right?
There you go. Or A.J. Jenkins, yep, exactly. All right, man. Well, thanks again, Donovan, and we'll have to have you back on again.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you, guys.
No problem.
All right.
Bye.
Night.
Cool. So, yeah, like the site, I've been, like I said, I honestly have been using it. I've been going on there and it made me $10 on the Renato Nunez, and when I have more time, I'll definitely use it when I'm kind of searching through checking my cards.
So, a side note real quick. The Giants called up somebody to be the fifth starter, right? It's Nick,
yeah.
Is it Nick Kingham?
Kick him.
Nick Kickham?
Yep. K-I-C-K-H-A-M.
Good name for a pitcher.
Kick him.
I like it.
Yeah.
Kick him.
Which he actually has no autographs out there right now.
You were saying like Elite, right? Profar, wasn't his first auto in Elite?
It was.
Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah.
Dropping
the knowledge. Well, the funny thing about that card, and we actually, Mojo Break's very first, we did a free break of two boxes of 2010 Elite. It was a YouTube contest. We didn't have a site. All we were doing was just trying to get our group breaking company started. And we did, everybody that followed us on YouTube or put a comment, we put into this free break. And we actually pulled a Profar auto that whoever got the card never claimed it. They never sent us an email saying, that's my card, blah, blah, blah. So I still have it. So it's a Jerkson Profar Elite auto. And his auto is completely different in that set than it is now. Somebody probably told him you can't, write an Egyptian lettering on a card anymore. You need to try to figure out how to sign your name. So if you look at it, you'll see. Look up Jerkson Profar Elite Auto, and you'll see what I'm saying. It was a script. It's like a piece of art how he signed his name or something. So now he signs it with a big J and a P. So it completely changed. But, yeah, a little history on Mojo Break. Very first free break we did, we pulled a Jerkson Profar Auto, which we were like, who the hell is this guy? Look at this guy's auto. So,
you just never know. So who else got called up? Did you say Nick Franklin got called up?
Yeah, I believe that was last week, and then Michael Walker.
But this isn't Nick Franklin's first time being called up, is it?
I don't know. He's been in the system for a while. I know he was in 2010, one of the Chrome products. I believe it was 2010 Chrome. He was in that, but I believe this is his first call up. Yeah, and he's on the Mariners.
Okay.
So,
Waka got called up. Tyler Skaggs got called up.
Yep.
Kickham.
You know what's funny?
Got called up.
Nick Kickham got called up, but no one cares until he pitches. See how he pitches, and then people will care. But you know the funny thing about Nick Franklin is that they called up Nick Franklin and they demoted Dustin Ackley.
Dude, Dustin. So I'm going to go down saying that Dustin Ackley may be a bust. His career batting average has to be like a loud 180. I mean, or maybe not a loud 180, just a soft 180, or as loud as a 180 can be.
He's hitting 205 this year.
205 is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think the Giants have a couple pitchers who are hitting better than 205.
Probably Zito.
Zito's learned how to swing the stick a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his career stats here.
Ackley's been up for what, maybe 2 years?
2011. So he played 90 games in 2011. He hit 273. So that was, kind of his coming out. So 273 is not bad your rookie season. And then in 2012, he played 153 games. He batted 226. And then this year, 45 games, batting 205. So, yeah, it's progressively gone down. But, yeah, that guy was in the same set with Strasburg 2010, and that was one of the bigger names to get.
Yep.
He's running out of options there. I mean, I thought if you played X amount of games in the major league level that you couldn't be sent down. You had to get just released. I guess he still had at least one option left to go back to the minors.
I think that don't they have to put him on waivers first or something like that, because that's what they did with Fred Lewis.
He has to clear waivers, and if he doesn't clear waivers he gets picked up, then you lose him. But
yeah,
I mean, maybe he cleared waivers, maybe everybody was like, nah, we'll pass. We got enough of these guys in our farm system.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how many prospects come out of these sets that actually are worth anything. I mean, this guy was one of the highly collectible guys in 2010. Now he's, you know, and he was in a ton of products last year. I mean, he was in, like, Museum, and he was in, you know, he wasn't in five-star, but he was in a ton of products. Dustin Ackley. I mean, people, I would pull him and go, oh, Dustin Ackley. I thought it was good, but now it's Dustin Ackley from, like, Michael Agnew.
So now we're talking about old-school products real quick. I saw a story this morning. You remember Josh Sale? He was a prospect for the Rays.
The Rays.
Yep. For the Rays, I think he was drafted out of high school, maybe 2010.
Yeah.
17th overall pick. Well, he got kicked out of a strip club for throwing change at a stripper. And dude, he's like, I have his card, and he's like all tatted up now. He's got sleeves. He got busted for 50 game suspension for doing something, amphetamines or something like that. So, probably a guy that you don't want a PC anymore. Maybe Josh Sale, if anybody does. I do.
Yeah, it was a 50 game suspension for methamphetamines and amphetamines. The picture from him, the picture of him they show, this is courtesy of the Daily News, New York Daily News. There's a picture of him with a tank top on that says money, clothes, and hose. I don't know if that's, you know, a way of life right there, money, clothes, and hose. Maybe I need to change my life perspective. But you know, he's like, I'm a prospect, money, clothes, and hose. So I have a
2010 on card auto of his. If anybody's interested, buy now.
50 cents. I think I have one too. There's also a picture of him with bunny ears and a bow tie on too. So, real
good thing to know.
I mean,
it's a good thing to know he's working on baseball. You know, really, really working on the swing, and you know. So I think there was an article or something in the article that said like something about being a tool. Like he used to be a five tool player. Now he's just a tool. Like, you know, our sweet line that we like to use once in a while.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think he's just a tool. It said for some players. Okay. Here's a little story. For most players, a 50 game drug ban would be a career low point. Most players aren't Josh Sale. The Tampa Bay Rays minor league prospect showed the world how much of a winner he is by boasting on Facebook about humiliating a stripper for cheap laughs. Threw 50 cents at a stripper tonight, first time. Got kicked out, and she got so pissed, thought she was going to cry. He proudly put on his Facebook via Deadspin. Then came the eloquent parting shot, courtesy of a 21-year-old who's clearly beyond his years, and it's a it says Josh Sale winning at life, and he's wearing bunny ears, a bow tie, and in a tank top. And sunglasses, and he's indoors.
So at what point are the Tampa Bay Rays scouts going to figure it out? Didn't they drafted Josh Hamilton. He had kind of the same issues, and they literally drafted the same guy over again.
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
But maybe Josh Sale becomes the next Josh Hamilton. Josh Hamilton.
Maybe. Well, that's what he's probably going for. He's like, dude, I'm just doing what Josh Hamilton did. It's party time. And then I'll figure it out when I'm like 24.
Tame up.
That's what Josh Hamilton says. Like, it's angels, man. Tame up. So, you know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Man.
I'm glad you brought that up. That gave me a chuckle there. That was good. Well, before we end up the show, I want to briefly touch on a couple products that came out last week. Score Jumbo Football, you know, it's nothing extremely flashy by any means. Score Football in other years was just kind of a retail product. You get maybe one auto and stuff like that. But this year they came out with Jumbo because it's the anniversary, and they've amped it up with three hits a box. And actually, most boxes are actually giving you four hits, and it's a 50-card pack. 440 card base sets, and it's some pretty good stuff. It's the first rookie product with logos on it. So you got the throwback score design of all the rookies that were drafted this year. You know, Matt Barkley, Geno Smith, Devon Austin, Giovanni Bernard, and you got the sticker autos of them, and they actually have the logo of what team they play for on there. So that's cool. So it's kind of the first licensed autograph card of your 2013 rookie class. I did a box for myself, and I got a Ray Rice jersey, three-color jersey, numbered to 25. I got a Jermaine Gresham auto, numbered to 10, with a Reebok logo in it. I got that, I think I had Giovanni Bernard auto and a Greg McElroy auto. So, I mean, I actually wasn't expecting it. And probably about five numbered inserts. So for a $90 to $100 retail value of a box for being the first licensed product, I actually like it. I didn't expect much. It a lot of value, a lot of big set to collect. You got every guy you would want in here, you know, Manning, all those guys. And some big hit possibilities. There's Kaepernick in here. There's one of ones in here. So not a bad little product to kind of enter the year for football. What did you think of it, Dan?
I thought it was pretty good. I like the I think it's 89 score design for the rookies. I think it's
Barry Sanders.
It's the Barry Sanders like rookie card, so it gives you that kind of throwback. They did a good job. It's a headshot, so they obviously no they're not wearing any jerseys or anything like that. I think it's flying under the radar, and I mean, it's a great value. I would put it up against Prestige when it comes out. I mean, even Elite when it comes out. It may hurt the sales of those products because it is so good, and it's like it's just overachieving on every box. And the memorabilia is good. Sticker autos for the most part, but it is like a licensed product with logos, and it's a pretty sleek looking card. Cool little inserts and stuff like that, and. Yeah, overall, I think it's a pretty solid product, and you can't beat the value. Opening up a jumbo box, you get it for $100. I mean, you're going to get at least 40 to 50% of your value back, at least.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's I don't think there was tons of pre-orders on it, so I don't think they made tons and tons of it. Because I think they base production somewhat on their pre-order order, their pre-order numbers, if I'm not mistaken. And if it's not if it's not a huge pre-order number, then it just they pretty much make to order. They don't make to have tons of shelf stock and stuff like that. So
definitely,
I think it's going to be a product that's going to go up a little bit. I think they did a good job with it. Definitely revamping the score name, and definitely giving some flair to it and some markability. Because I mean, everybody thinks of it as a retail product. Entry-level, low value, just, you know, retail stuff. And they definitely stepped it up. It's overall, I haven't opened up any of the hobby boxes or not, and I assume that those are probably guaranteed one hit, one auto, or one relic. But the jumbo is a great value.
Yeah, and don't be fooled. You know, the only thing that they messed up on, and I'll let you guys know this, whoever made the printing of the boxes at Panini, they were sleeping or you know, maybe had too many Jack Daniels that day. Because on the top of the box, it says one autograph or memorabilia card per box, and that's for the jumbo. So, you know, I hope card shop owners are informed that there's, in fact, at least three hits in that box. So basically what they did is they made the jumbo box, and they use the same template as the hobby box that only has the one hit. So people are going to think there's only one hit in this $90 box. They're going to be like, dude, why am I going to buy a $90 box for one hit? But it's, in fact, 3 to 4 hits. Most boxes are producing 4 hits. So Panini needs to definitely – I don't know if anybody said anything on Twitter or anything, but when I bought my box, I was like, man, one memorabilia? Did I just get duped, you know? And I opened it up, and sure as heck, I had 4 hits. So somebody – slapped at the printing press and made the wrong stated odds on the jumbo box. So just be sure that you bought a jumbo box is more girthy. It's a little bit more on the wide side and it's taller. So make sure that you know, as opposed to the regular hobby box, which is more like a Bowman box, a regular Bowman box. That's what that looks like. So just if you're buying box, just make sure that's what you're getting. So that's the only downfall, I think, of that product. But I think what's good is that last year, the first football product that came out was Crap in Your Mouth, Bowman Signatures. So that was the first product that came out last year. Tops was like, we're going to get the first product out. So they made this cartoony garbage, and they put it out, and it was like $180 a box, and everybody was like, oh, man, this is – I go and get my first luck. Well, it was garbage. So Panini saw that they failed, and they're like, we're going to put out Score. Nobody's going to have any expectations for Score, and we're going to over-deliver. Because Score's name is mostly cheap. It's like, oh, it's cheap cards. It's a cheap set. So they kind of over-delivered with Score, and I think it's a great value, especially for 2013 being the first product.
Yep. So,
and I want to talk, you know, we don't really talk much about Leaf. Leaf makes cards. They don't have any licensing, but they do make a lot of products. And they actually, in our football awards, the Vince Lombardi set was the number one selling football product as opposed to pre-sale to what it sells for now. That was the number one product. Well, me and Dan opened a box of Leaf Metal Basketball on Friday. And, you know, actually, they changed the format of their boxes. If anybody's opened any Leaf products over the last 2 years, it's always that cardboard box. It's the same size. It's got the two, you know, Leaf logo, Leaf stickers to promote authenticity on both sides. And they changed the format of the box this time, and they actually have packs in the box. And it's five autos, and it's about $190, $200 retail box. So it's a little bit higher of a value, a higher price point for one of Leaf's products. But the box we opened, so you get one base card, and it's the base card is what's called, most of them are their hoop matrix. So they have this new technology, and the matrix logo looks like a Prism logo. So it's their, like, answer to Prism. So it's an etched card, and the guy, I'm holding the John Stockton here, and around John Stockton is this etching. And it's a really nice-looking card, actually, for Leaf. So I was shocked at that. And then we opened our boxes, and our first, and they're all on-card autos. So our first auto was a Hal Greer auto, so old school guy, Hal Greer on card. Our second one was a Lute Olson, who's a coach, Lute Olson. And then we got a Robert Parrish, number to 50 auto. And then we got a Scottie Pippen auto, which was nice because Scottie's not in a lot of stuff. And then the last pack, we got a Bob Cousy Superfractor 101. So, I mean, and I actually already sold the Bob Cousy for $175. So pretty much paid for my box, and then I got, you know, the other ones to either keep or sell and actually profit. So the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, Leaf products, what I've seen with a lot of their products is that I think Brian Gray, with all of his craziness, tries to pretty much hand-pack this stuff to give value, more so than any of these other companies. I really think he puts in more effort if he's doing it himself or if somebody has a grasp on value in his company, but they're – every box I've done of Leaf, whether it be the Best of Series or Leaf Metal Draft or what was that awesome baseball product that they had? What was that baseball product?
Leaf Memories.
Leaf Memories. I mean, you're always going to get a great hit, at least one great hit. So it's, you know, as opposed to if you do some of the Bowman stuff, you get nothing. You know, you get, you know, a crap $5 auto. With Leaf, the value is definitely there.
Plus, you get free top loaders.
Yeah, you get the cards that come out of the top loaders. So you don't have
bonus.
To even bother buying.
Bonus
so
top loaders.
What's your thought? I mean, I know Ryan was the first one to say Brian Gray needs to have a reality show. What do you think about Leaf in general?
I think he does a great job. I think, like you said, he does provide value. I've seen, if you go to the National Sports Card Convention, you can go over to the Leaf booth and just watch him buy cards. And he buys good cards. I mean, really good cards that are freshly graded, you know, 9.5 or 9, you know, Superfractors, the best of the best. You know, he's buying good cards. And he's giving the guys a fair shake. He's looking the cards up on eBay and giving them, you know, like 20% less than eBay, which is like your fees, essentially. So he's really, you know, I don't open a lot of the products. They're not accessible for me, really. One of the things with Score, how it's $1.99 now, I'm wondering if they're going to come out with a 99-cent price point product because while it's a junky, you know, it's junk, but a lot of people get exposed to cards through those 99-cent products. With Leaf, you've got to be serious into collecting to collect his products. Maybe you pick up a blaster for $20 of whatever the Leaf Metal Draft and some of the stuff that ends up at Target and Walmart. Maybe. But to be exposed to Leaf cards, you've got to be an online collector or have been involved at least a little bit, so that you get exposed to his cards. And I think he does a good job. And with limited staff, he actually hired Greg Scooby Cub on Twitter from Upper Deck. And Greg was very passionate when he worked at Upper Deck, and I think he did a good job when they lost their license to make some of their football products at least somewhat desirable. And so with Greg on board, I know they recently actually hired a new designer who apparently has some real tout in this industry. I don't remember the name offhand.
Yeah, it was a guy who designed Exquisite, I believe. He was a big intro. Whatever designer he hired, I can't think of the name either, but he was one of the designers for one of the first Exquisite and rolling out Exquisite for Upper Deck.
Yeah, so, and he gets on card a lot. He has very few redemptions most of the time. So I think there's value in breaking his product. I think there may be even value in ripping and flipping his products from a there could be value in doing that, whether it's with his buyback stuff, whether it's – you know, you have to get a lot of it, expose yourself to a case or two or three to hopefully – and you have to do it, boom, right when the product comes out, especially this pre-draft stuff, because as soon as the Top and Panini start coming out with the football – it just makes the Leaf and the Press Pass and the Sage stuff look outdated and tired, and, you know, you don't want a Matt Barkley autograph from Leaf. You want a Matt Barkley autograph from Tops and Panini because it's in his new Eagles uniform and maybe his girlfriend is in the background or what have you. So those, you know, there's a short shelf life for those. And actually the funny thing is with them moving, the NFL confirmed that they are moving the NFL draft back to May 8th through the 10th, I believe, for next season. That could give a longer shelf life for Leaf, for Press Pass and Sage to milk some of these pre-draft sets. What would be interesting, and I almost, for one of the very few times, I almost actually reached out to the card companies, Thompson's Panini, to see, and they may not know this yet, that's why I held back, are they planning to release Score sooner? Are they planning to release Bowman sooner and come out with these things before the draft? Maybe before we even know. They probably wouldn't want to do this. They probably want to know at least what team the players are playing for, and they will not come out with like a pre-draft release. So that means we won't be seeing anything from Penny and Topps until well into May. The rookie premiere could be stretched into June. And, you know, we were there, what, 2-3 weeks ago. So it is going to the fact that they moved the draft back, and I know I mentioned it last week, and that's probably just me. I'm always concerned about timetables and schedules and when these cards come out. So, but it will impact the card market. I'll probably do a little research to find out what will happen. Next year is shaping up to be a big year with Johnny Manziel. I'm already looking ahead to 2014 and how big that could be, and kind of
okay, got it.
So it should be interesting. But we were talking about Leaf, and I think Brian Gray does a good job maximizing his football sets. I think they look nice. Like you said, you're getting value out of these sets. And overall, I think collectors should be willing to dip into these sets. Whether it's for a rip and flip situation, they're trying to make money, they're trying to get value, or they're just collecting, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think the cards, they do, without the license, I think they still look nice enough to have in your collection and not feel embarrassed that you have like a second-class card in your collection.
Yeah, and I've noticed the technology on his cards are getting better with every release. I mean, that's and I don't know, I guess you can't patent a super fractor, but the Bob Cousy that I have that's the 101, I mean, it literally looks like a super fractor from Topps. It's got the little circle things in the background and stuff. So he's definitely, you know, improving his technology as it goes. And, you know, he started off with Razor and then bought Leaf, you know, to put the name on it. And so, I mean, he could become a real big player. I mean, He's every year it seems like there's more and more releases and there's more and more stuff that he thinks of. I think out of all the, you know, compared to Panini and Topps, he definitely seems like he's the most creative with things. So, you know, maybe that's what these guys need is for this guy to, you know, start taking some market share on things, and maybe they have to step up their game and come up with new ideas, you know.
Well, and watching the just real quick, like watching the secondary market on his boxes and cases, when we go to distributors to get stuff that's already been released, a lot of the times his products always go up.
Yeah.
Getting his products at the pre-sale price after it's been released are few and far between. I can't remember one of his products that's actually went down after release. The only thing I could think of would be maybe Best of Hockey. That may have went down a little bit. But besides that, everything goes up from the pre-sale price. So, I mean, that's got to say something. The distributors aren't panicked to move it because it holds its value. And they make their money on it, and some of it goes up, and they make a decent amount of profit on it. And I just don't see a lot of his stuff going down after it gets released. So that tells you that the individual cards on the secondary market hold their value, and people are getting money back for them. And people do like his stuff, and everybody does buy it. So I think he's doing a great job. I think, dealing with the barriers of not having a licensing for baseball and football, he's doing a great job with what he has to work with.
Yeah, and he said it before. I've heard him in interviews. He's actually done. He's a collector still, obviously. He's done shows. He's had a card shop, and he's worked for a card company. So in turn, he's not like a hired gun. He has more of an inch. It'd be like kind of like, and I'm not tooting our own horn, but it's like kind of like if we had if we started a card company, we'd be more in tune to, because we see all these cards, we might have some different ideas, or we might implement better ideas to create ROI because we're on the other side, where sometimes I feel like Tops and stuff, they have these guys they hire out of college that have these high degrees, and they're making decisions on cards that really don't have the market in mind. So I think that's what Brian Gray has, and what he brings to the table is that he's been on all sides. I mean, it's kind of like when you work for a manager. Companies that I've worked for that have had a manager start where I've started, I've respected them more, and they've been able to kind of, you know, talk with me and understand where I'm coming from when I've worked for them. But when you get a guy that just comes out of college and he hasn't actually gone through the grassroots, it's kind of like they don't know what's going on, but the ideas aren't as good, and I think that's what Brian Gray has. So,
word.
Oh, word yeah. up.
Word
I think
up.
That pretty much does it. I think we're going to let you guys catch that Sharks game tonight. So it's going
down.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe if I get off right now, I can watch the shootout at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they do that every game. They just do it for shits and giggles now.
Well,
so,
yeah, that's pretty.
Ah, we lost 5-2, but let's go ahead and do a shootout anyway. It's fun.
Fun stuff. Just do it to have fun, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
But you passed the quiz. I'm saying you passed the quiz. So, next week's show, we'll talk about 2013 Archives Baseball is coming out. Looks like a pretty cool checklist. Actually, if you want to check out sportscardradio.com, I actually like some of the old school autos they have in it. They did combine new school and old school, and the fan favorite autographs are the ones that are going to be plentiful. And we're talking about Brett Saberhagen, Benito Santiago, Bob Welch, Chuck Finley, Dennis Oil Can Boyd, Darren Dalton, Delano DeShields, Eric Burks, Eric Davis, Fred Lynn, Fred McGriff, Gary Gaetti, Greg Jeffries, Hal Morris, John Mayberry, Kevin Mitchell, Keith Miller, Mike Greenwell, Mickey Rivers, Mickey Tettleton, Mookie Wilson, Otis Nixon, Ruben Sierra, Sid Fernandez, Rick Rushel, Vince Coleman, Tim Salmon, Travis Fryman. I mean, those are just names we all know and love from the 80s. So that's
you named all those guys and not one Rob Dibble? No Rob Dibble.
Nope. No Rob Dibble.
Oh,
man. He must be holding out. He doesn't want to sign. I didn't name all of them, and I didn't go over the whole list. I just went over some Dave Parker. I just named some notable guys.
Their nickname in like the 90s? It was like Tom Browning, Rob Dibble, and like Norm Charlton. I think it's Nasty Boys. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now that would be a sick triple auto right there. The Nasty Boys auto.
Nice. We gotta let Tops know on that. And then the designs they did this year is they did four different designs. They did 72, 82, 85, and 90. So those are going to be the base cards in the set. So it should be pretty cool. I actually like the 1990 design. I actually have that full set. So interesting.
And they also have the also doing the heavy metal autos too, right?
Yep. They're having the heavy metal, which are going to be very hard to pull. And I expect the Axl Rose auto to go for $300 to $400 at least.
Those are going to be cool, man.
They include the 1998 Stadium Club inserts, the Triumvirate. Am I saying that right, Ryan? Triumvirate?
No, it's three players. I think it's like three separate cards or whatever. It's kind of like that Panini did them in basketball where it's like puzzle pieces or something.
Yeah.
I think. I saw pictures of them. I neglected to put the pictures up until they come on eBay or whatever. The sell sheet pictures always change and stuff. I always hate putting up pictures and then it's like, that's not the actual card. I mean, I've gotten emails. I get the email and be like, hey, that Dan Marino card you have on that 2012 Upper Deck page, where can I find that? Or do you have that for sale? Or can I trade that for it? And it's like, no, that was a sell sheet picture. So there's pictures of those cards. I think it's three cards floating together, like puzzle piece together, that number to something, I think. I don't know. Obviously, you can tell how much time I spent on it.
Gonna be sick.
Well, they have the heavy metal autographs. They actually have cut signature cards. A pretty good checklist. We're talking Barbara Eden, Carrie Fisher, Christine Brinkley, Dinah Shore, George Clooney, Henry Winkler, Jay Leno, Linda Ronstadt, Michelle Lee, Red Fox, Warren Beatty, Walt Bellamy, Rick Barry, Al Addles. Is Al Addles the basketball player? Is that who we're talking about? Is in Archives Baseball. And then, you know, the heavy metal autographs is Axl Rose, Bobby Brown, Dee Snider, Kip Winger, Lita Ford, Red Beach, Sebastian Bach, Scott Ian, Stephen Piercy, and Tommy Lee. So that's going to be awesome. So we'll definitely review that next week and let you know what we think of that.
You just say Stephen Piercy?
Did I say Stephen Piercy?
That was,
I did.
Stephen Piercy, yeah. Dude, can anybody name what band Stephen Piercy played for?
Oh, Rat?
Did you just look that up?
I did. That was off the top of the head, dude. Round and round.
That's good knowledge.
Man, that was good. That was a little heavy metal knowledge there. Round and round.
Oh,
you know what
good.
Goes around comes around. All right. Well, that pretty much locks up the show. If you want to check out some breaks tomorrow, we got three breaks tomorrow, all random style. We have our archives break on for baseball on Friday, and that's pick your team style. That's filling up quick. I think there's only a few teams left. But tomorrow we got a Museum 2013 six-box random at 1:15 Pacific. We have an NBA six-box, which is Preferred, Brilliance, Totally Certified 2010-2011, and Leaf Metal that we just talked about. And then we're also doing a NFL 12-13 six box at 3:15 Pacific. All three of these are random, and we're doing a box of Sterling, box of five-star, box of Score Jumbo, box of 2013 Archives Football, and two boxes of Leaf Valiant. And right now they're all on early bird sale, so you'll save a couple bucks if you buy in early for the randoms. But those are all going down tomorrow, so make sure you check out mojobreak.com. Make sure you check out Sports Card Radio if you want to find out who's on a checklist on an upcoming product, like Archives that we just talked about. And that's pretty much it. So we'll see you guys next week, and you guys have a good rest of your week. We're out.
Word up. Later.
And check out CardboardTracker.com. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.